Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is Marcus Speller.
And mine is Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Football Ramble. It's another beautiful day in the kingdom. And we have Pete Donaldson back from his wanderings. Petey, how are you?
I'm back in the country and it has changed irrevocably. Yeah. I came home and just before I left for my little sojourn, my little holiday, I planned on throwing Domestos down the toilet. Completely forgot to flush the chain after I'd done my morning wee, so my entire house smelt like warm piss.
Oh, good. Oh no!
Did you notice?
Pete, see, was this more or less jarring than when you got out of prison?
it's a sense of readjustment. I live in the centre of town, if people aren't familiar, in Soho, and wandering around, the only people who are actually in the streets are photographers taking pictures of the empty streets, thereby photographing each other effectively. It's all very strange.
Maybe this is the stage they've always wanted. Finally,
they're
the subject.
As someone once said, you better start believing in ghost stories, Pete, because you're in one.
Oh dear, I'd worry about your toilet roll situation, Peter.
Well, no, because I opened a cupboard on the flight back in the toilet and found several rolls of toilet roll, which I pocketed because I didn't know what situation I was coming back to.
Jail him now. Jail him.
How big are your pockets as well? Have you got like MC Hammer style trousers on when you fly?
Well, I had to kind of waddle back to my seat because I didn't have a bag with me. I had them jammed down my trousers. So there you go.
Outrageous.
I didn't know what I was coming back to, guys. I didn't know whether I'd be able to get some loo roll. You know how many poos I do in the day? Millions.
You did four once in total in the year 2012. The burning questions I've got, and I think hopefully it's not too grandiose to say I speak on behalf of our listenership when I ask these on their behalf. In these straitened times, Pete, there's two questions here. One, do you have anything more than just an old bottle of Campari in your fridge? And two, are you still using your oven as storage?
Well, I dare say I will have to cease using my oven as storage, but indeed, yes, the only thing in my fridge is a bottle of Campari. It's a lovely clean fridge, though, so no microbes in there.
Yeah.
Good so mate. Flies on me.
So that hasn't changed in, what, the 2 or 3 years since you accidentally locked us in your flat?
No, there's a few more...
You've not bought a single item.
There's a few more individual packets of Pret-a-Manger Tabasco sauce. That's about it.
Oh, there you go. You're living like a king, mate.
Camparian sauce. Whoa, that'll see you through.
What a liquid-based diet.
Yeah. Marcus, to be fair, has been very worried about you, Pete. So, yeah.
Oh, bless him. Bless his cotton socks.
I have been mildly concerned, but I'm not anymore because you're back and better than ever by the sounds of it, Peter.
Yeah, I'm feeling healthy. I'm tanned. Yeah. I'm looking better than ever and no one can see me.
Beautiful. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but we're getting it in England at the moment. We're getting a little bit of a mini heat wave, it would seem, and the weather is really nice. And of course, none of us can go outside. So I'm dressing like I'm on holiday anyway, just to try and sort of get in the mood.
Mm. What, Union Jack hanky on your head? Vest.
Yeah, string vest.
Sandals and socks.
Smashing up picnic furniture in front room.
Yeah. Singing the Dan Busters theme.
You're right, Mark, because you've got a bit of frog in your throat today, mate.
I'm just so excited to have Pete back on the show, I think.
Mm. Understandable. Mm.
Yeah, indeed. Gentlemen, there's been a few little bits and pieces that we can get our teeth stuck into today. I found this quite interesting. Reports from Devon. Torquay United, more specifically, have got their players on a fitness regime while the situation is still the same in this country and, of course, in most countries around the world. Because footballers, they've got to keep fit. They can't just kind of take it easy for the next sort of couple of months and then hope to spring back into it when or if the season does reemerge, hopefully in the summer months. That's what we're hoping for. So Torquay players, Torquay United players, among others, of course, have got fitness regimes, have got their own individual training programs as well. And they're using an app that records what they get up to while they're remotely training. And the data is looked over by the club's physio with each player doing their own routines and so on and so forth. And I'm sure that's the case in a lot of clubs around the land. And the reason why we're honing in on Torquay is that their former Bristol City and Yeovil Town boss, Gary Johnson, who's in charge of Torquay, said of the app, we give them a 5 kilometre run, for instance, and they send it back to the app, which shows you where they ran, how fast they ran and how many calories they've lost. It's a good bit of kit and we know exactly what they have done. And this is what we gave Pete, obviously, when he was away, so we know exactly what he got up to, whether he realises it or not.
Yeah, you guys didn't know how many calories I'd consumed, though. So. That's very, very much the problematic part of it.
I think you consumed several thousand calories, all of them through Campari.
We've got an app to tell us how much booze Pete's consuming when he's away. And the app crashed many times. But Gary Johnson, he went on to say about these players who have got these... players who've got the app said, we have one player that shall remain nameless who is supposed to have done 10 kilometres in 21 minutes. I think that broke the world record. Part of his map shows that he went across the water in the bay. We don't quite know what he was doing, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
I absolutely love that.
Aiming the system.
Yeah.
It was a boat, Gary. Well, I'll get to the bottom of it for you right now if you want. It was a boat.
No, because he said only part of it went on the water, so I reckon it was one of those duck buses you see in the Thames,
or a hovercraft.
But I love just for like a couple of seconds when the physio or whoever it was in that department saw that data, and checked the world record on Google, which is I've just checked is 26 minutes 17 seconds for the 10K, and thought fucking hell, we've got a player around here. Tell you what, come off the hour, this guy's absolutely amazing.
Either that, or he's going, I'm pretty sure this can't be right, but I just want to make absolutely sure that he's not done 10K in 21 minutes.
Yeah, I think the physio probably thought to himself, God, this new training regime I've given the players has hit the spot. The manager's going to be well pleased.
All they needed was a rest.
Yeah. I know, yeah, part of his map shows that he went across the water in the bay. I mean, maybe he was, I think, speedboat and tried a little... he went partly on land, a bit like Roger Moore in... which one is it? Man with the Golden Gun?
Live and Let Die, he jumps over...
Oh, Live and Let Die!
Yeah, he jumps over some like a pool of water by leaping across crocodile.
I think I've just broke the world record.
Yeah. Is that, was that Roger Moore?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it wasn't Sean Connery, was it?
Right. In self-isolation, have you been working on your impressions, Marcus?
Oh, don't start this, Pete, for goodness sake.
Which one do you want to hear?
We can't stop him.
Hang on. Pete asked a question. Now, Peter.
Oh, dear. I'm just saying, which new ones have you been working on? I want to hear the newest ones.
Do you know what? I haven't.
What?
Well, give us one to work on.
Do George Lazenby, Marcus. You seem to like doing the Bonds. Do George Lazenby.
I can't think of it. I can't think.
Can I just say, Marcus, you could do George Lazenby and it would sound indifferent to me because I have no idea what he sounds like. So it could be a really good impression.
No, exactly.
Yeah, he was Australian, wasn't he?
Oh, my name's Bond, mate.
James Bond.
Something like that. James Bonza.
In Live and Let Die, he jumps across a pool of water by leaping onto the backs of sunbathing crocodiles.
Yeah, it's class.
To get away. That sounds really cool. But if you watch back now, it looks absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that in the Bond films, isn't there? In fact, there is in the one Bond movie that George Lazenby is in, which I believe is on Her Majesty's Secret Service, he's obviously replacing, I think, Sean Connery at that point. So it's a big, big role. And something slightly embarrassing happens to Bond. So Lazenby looks down the camera and says, "This never happened to the other guy." So he breaks the fourth wall, which throws up the possibility that James Bond knows he's in a movie and only mentions it that one time in the whole series.
Weird.
Very weird.
It is very strange. But you can't blame Lazenby for that.
No, oh, absolutely not. I'm not blaming him.
I've just heard you blame him before for that, that's all.
I'm not blaming Well, Marcus, I would love to hear you work on an impression of George Lazenby while you've got time.
We pick someone better. Nobody knows what George Lazenby sounds like.
What about Nick Ewer?
Wow. No, come on. I've already mastered that one.
Plenty of time to watch Countdown these days.
Nice. The thing is, everybody knows what Nick Ewer sounds like as well, so it's such a universally popular one. As loath as I am to go back to Johnson and Torquay United, I love that. Has someone just attached their app to, like, I don't know what? How have they managed to? I mean, Pete, I'd defer to you to this sort of thing. How have they managed to do that with the app? Have they put it on like a remote control car, or I don't know? They've been on a bicycle or something.
It's a drone. It's a drone. He's been flying the drone around, Marcus.
Oh, of course. It's a drone.
He's stuck his phone to a drone. It's a phone drone.
It is a phone drone.
Drone.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, what else can we do in these trying times? A little bit further around the coast, much further around the coast of England, we go to Grimsby Town.
All the way around the coast, if you don't mind me saying.
Very good.
Literally the opposite side, yeah.
Liking your work, Luke Moore. I always felt that you had a bit of a geography teacher vibe about you.
That's haunted me, because when we played a live show in Toronto, it got to the point where we kind of ran out of clothes, and I did wear an ensemble, which was described by more than one person as a disgraced geography teacher. I've obviously got the attire for it. Yeah. So, I'm probably just as boring as well.
Well, it's important to have a range of looks in the wardrobe, isn't it? Because you never know when disgraced geography teacher will become, you know, fashionable.
But Jim, you say a range, and it's just that.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Well, it's a good start. I'm trying to throw you a bone here, mate.
Other than that, it's just tracksuit bombs.
all of my looks basically makes it look like I'm trying to romance sixth formers, so it's all good.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, Pete, you've got a couple of good ones. You've got provincial hypnotist.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good look for you. Any formal occasion, you tend to look like a provincial hypnotist. Mm-hmm. You've got kind of one of the, you know, that really, really small period of time before TV magicians went properly urban.
Mm. Yeah.
You look a bit like that. Mm. And you've also got the old I present MTV2 in 2005.
Yeah. I'll also, there's very much the guy that welcomes you to purgatory. You've got that look as well.
That's just my eyes, my vacuous eyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh dear. Well, Ian Holloway has broken his silence on the current situation that we're
Thank
all in.
Thank God.
Yeah. He said, "All we're doing is ticking over. It's like starting a chainsaw, leaving it on the floor, stopping the blade going around, but you can hear the motor running. We are ready to go. But when that will be, who knows?"
I mean, is it like that? I'm not sure that really stands up, because because at some point he's going to have to get on the ground and wrestle that chainsaw and then use it to cut up whatever he needs to cut up in this analogy. And I don't really think that applies.
Why can't Ian Holloway just say something relatively normal? Do you know what
I mean? He's thrown us a bone here, mate, so let's not knock it.
Yeah. Pete, you know your way around a chainsaw. It's got a dead man's switch, hasn't it? So you put a cable around your arm, and if you drop it, it kind of cuts it out, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe he's probably going for like a consumer level one rather than a pro chainsaw. It's clearly got some kind of kill switch where you can keep the motor running if it's petrol powered,
but get it out on the highway.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bloody hell.
just think Ian Holloway kind of thinks these up and just...
yeah, I do.
And just, like, this is the kind of thing Ian Holloway would say.
No, I think he just naturally rolls off the tongue and it's, how are you getting on it? And yeah, we're sort of ticking over. We'd like a chainsaw and it's been left on the... What? What are you going on about, Ian?
He'll have a writer, won't he?
Is that you, Jim? Is that what you're doing? I've got two encounters with Ian Holloway under my belt. One is when it was either his agent or someone called me and asked me if I'd be interested in doing a series with him for metal detecting with Ian Holloway. I told you that before.
Hang on. Why didn't you do that?
Yeah.
No, I said I would do it, but it didn't come off for some reason.
That's such a shame.
Presumably because they got to such a state with it that they ended up calling me. And the second one is I saw him at a Christmas party once and I was just standing around with a few other people and we were just talking and someone mentioned that I was a Portsmouth fan and Ian, this is before Ian had taken the Grimsby Town job, he's obviously out of work, and he just looked up and he went, "I couldn't do the Portsmouth job, Kenny's my mate." And I was like, all right. Well, I have no power to hire you anyway. I just support them. And two, I didn't ask you to be the manager anyway.
How would you feel about that?
Well, I'd be brilliant.
Broadly speaking, Luke.
To be honest, Jim, the state we're in at the moment, if the deal with the devil I have to do is that football comes back, but I have Ian Holloway managing the club I support, I'll do it now.
You say the state you're in. I mean, Portsmouth, not far off the Championship.
No, the state that the football world is in, Marcus,
oh,
is there's no football.
Yeah. It's like a mosquito frozen in amber. They're so close.
Yeah.
In 75 million years' time, football will be back. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it will lead to some sort of horrific disaster.
Yeah, a massive Robert Prosinecki knocking down a building.
Robert Prosinecki and Gary O'Neill in a kitchen hunting a small child.
Jurassic Fratton Park.
Well, Holloway said that we can't scrap this season as too many managers have lost their jobs for it not to matter.
See, that's a new take, isn't it?
Yes,
I've
not
seen that angle before. How tepid are the takes going to be in about 3 months' time?
I know. He obviously thinks it's very disrespectful. And I did think to myself, he sounds like those like managers have sort of like died for the making of this season. It's like, we've got to honour the memory of these managers. And you think to yourself, well, it's a different take, as you say. He manages to be original, Ian Holloway, at every moment. And I respect him for that.
But it's like he thinks that if we reset the season... like we'd reset reality, almost like it'd be like a football manager season. You just go, oh, you know what? I'm just going to scrap this one. You know, cheat and go back to the start. Like you can't.
Yeah, God save us.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know what he means. So does, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a sack manager like Kike Sanchez Flores. He lost his job, didn't he? Or, you know, one or two others would suddenly say, oh, well, if I'd have known that we were going to scrap this season, then I might have tried a bit harder or something. I don't.
Yeah. Don't really work like that, does it?
No.
It'd be an amazing caveat if everyone had to start back with who they had.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I mean, Spurs fans will take that right now, wouldn't they? Pete, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you would still have Steve Bruce at the helm.
Yeah, he signed before the summer, didn't he? So,
but he's doing an all right job. You know?
He's done a brilliant job. Especially he's not lost a game for ages.
won't someone think of Pochettino? That's the thing.
Well, Steve Bruce had a lot of measures in place to combat coronavirus before the shutdown. So once again,
forward thinking,
innovating.
Yeah, exactly.
Marcus, can you end this little section by doing your famous, and it is famous, Ian Holloway impression?
Sacked in the morning. Don't think so.
It's the only thing you can say, isn't it?
Absolutely perfect. Well, I don't know about that.
Absolute perfection.
Can you do Marcus? Can you do an impression of another person from the West Country?
It's like starting a chainsaw.
I just wanted to see how it differed, and it didn't.
Yeah, Marcus, say the word Scott Minto in a accent like that.
In a West Country accent?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tricky. Is this like a famous tongue twister? Is Scott Minto Scourge of the West Country?
I just think it would sound quite good.
Scott Minto. Quite tricky.
Yeah, it's
quite tricky. Let us move on, gentlemen, because there's a thing called the Euro Club Index. Now, if we're wondering how this season, whether it sort of finishes or not, pans out, then do look at the Euro Club Index, because they've crunched the numbers and they've predicted what's going to happen if this season can indeed continue. The Index, surprisingly, gives Liverpool a 100% chance of winning the title. It's been completely unequivocal. You've got to admire that.
They've rounded that up. They must have rounded that up because, I mean, that's, that clearly
not
can't
true.
Be right, can it?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, you can't be 100% because it's obviously not happened. But that's how confident the Euro Club Index is.
I like these guys. They sound like they really back themselves.
Yeah.
they're side up, aren't they? Sunny side
yeah,
up.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So we need a bit of positivity in these strengthened times.
If I can play nerd devil's advocate, is that how you should approach data? With a sort of maverick confidence?
A lot of governments around the world are doing that, mate.
Yeah. Well, assuming Manchester City's Champions League ban is upheld, they're saying that Leicester City, to finish in the top four, get Champions League football next season, they're giving Leicester City 94.81%. So they're very, very confident that Leicester are going to do it. They're giving Chelsea 80.37%. So very confident with Chelsea. Win. And Manchester United 73.75%. So they're in pole position for top four along with Liverpool. That is assuming, of course, that Manchester City's ban's upheld. So we take Manchester City out of that equation. They're giving Wolves and Tottenham just 17.34% and 16.24%. So it drops off. So they're very confident. They think Manchester United will be the ones that get the fourth place.
Having watched quite a lot of Spurs under Mourinho,
yeah, it's a safe
16.24% seems very generous to me. I'll take that right now.
Are you surprised they've given Man United 73.75%?
Not really.
For Wolves are only a couple of points behind them. Wolves are 16%.
Well, this will be based on the recent form table, won't it? So that would actually probably make sense based on those games. So it would depend.
And also, presumably, these players, if the season is completed, the players will be back. And obviously, Manchester United squad, with players like Paul Pogba coming back into the side, you would presume.
Not going to happen.
Chinny
wreck on.
Chinny wreck on.
Paul Pogba deserved a lot of credit, by the way, because he was way ahead of his time. I mean, he's been refusing to play for months.
That's right.
And now no one's playing. What a pioneer.
Yeah. Self-isolating.
He's very much so, yeah. Well, in Scotland, Celtic's 13-point advantage over Rangers gives them a mighty 98.87% chance of winning the Scottish Premiership. That's according, again, to the Euro Club Index. You wouldn't bet against Celtic winning the title, of course. So much so that John Hartson has come out and said that Rangers should concede the title to Celtic. And if they did, they'd come out of it with huge credit and respect.
From Celtic.
Thanks, lad.
I love the idea of a journalist interviewing John Hartson and just going, and when he said that, just going, God, you're bored already, aren't you, John? Because that is an outrageous thing to say by John Hartson.
He said it would be unlikely for that to happen, but he also said Celtic would not want Rangers to do that. They wouldn't want to be handed it, but common sense has to prevail.
Wow.
Common sense does have to prevail, John, and it sounds like it's having a struggle, mate.
Oh my God.
But yeah, common sense. I love the fact, though, that Rangers, it is up to Rangers or the second place side to say, no, you can have the title. The Scottish Football Association are going, well, hang on, whoa. I think we'll be just in charge of the decisions of this kind of magnitude. It's not between two clubs, you know.
Football is not, and nor has it ever been, some kind of elaborate golf hole where someone's got a putt about a foot away. So you go, well, go on, there you take that one. There you go. Well played. Taking from town, which you can't do at the moment anyway. Yeah. That is not how it works.
No.
And I think that there's a very bored journalist who poked John Hartson with a stick there, and he's reacted to it.
Amazing. I think they should concede. They should declare. And honestly, and if they did...
Imagine the phone call. Well, I saw on the phone, Celtic. Who is it? Oh, it's Rangers. All right, yeah, what are they saying? They're saying what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
We don't want it.
Yeah.
You might as well have it.
You cheapened it now.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's as if, like, all Celtic fans would give them massive respect. No, a lot of ridicule, perhaps. But a lot of respect.
Never-ending ridicule, Mark.
Oh, my goodness.
They would talk about that in 100 years' time.
is respect, when he says they would get an enormous amount of respect, what he really means is they would use it to belittle us for the next 100 years at every opportunity. Yeah. That's what he means. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, respect isn't the thing, is it? When a dog rolls over and shows you its belly, it's not because it respects you, is it?
Mm. Oh, don't put yourself down, Jim, mate.
I love the fact, though, he said Celtic wouldn't want Rangers to do that. They wouldn't want to be handed it. I mean, that's not what Neil Lennon and Scott Brown were saying the other week. Well, it should be ours.
Give it to us now. Give it to us now.
He wanted to take it. It's not the same as being handed it. Yeah, you wanted to wrestle it.
Scott Brown was seeing it like one of those paintball games where you have to go and capture a flag. Just legging it through all these paintballs, smacking him in the head, grabbing it. It's ours! We got it!
Yeah. Doesn't have a paintball gun, just using his fists.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Well, one award that was given out before the situation unfolded was the Player of the Month award in the Premier League for February, and it was given to Bruno Fernandes, of course, for his great start at Manchester United. He's only one of nine men to have won the Prem Player of the Month award in their first month after arriving in England. So one of nine men. Timo Pukki won it in August 2019 in his first.
Marcus, did Fernando Torres win it?
Fernando Torres did not win it in his first.
He may well have been starting really well this first season.
He did start very well. He may well have won that award, but not in his first month after arriving in England. Anthony Martial won it in September 2015. Andre Ayew won it the month before that. Diego Costa in his first month, 2014. And then there's a bit of a gap. So you had a few players in between 2014 and this year. But then you have to go all the way back to 1999 when a young Robbie Keane playing for Coventry City won it in August. Patrick Berger in 1996 in September. David Ginola in August 95. And the first ever Premier League Player of the Month award, or it would have been probably Premiership back then. So the first award of its kind was won by Jurgen Klinsmann in August 94.
Wow.
I do remember Klinsmann hitting the ground running like that because he was only at Tottenham for that one season in his first spell, wasn't he?
I think he was,
but it feels like he was there for ages. He really was.
I remember him hitting the ground quite a lot.
Very good look.
One for the teenagers there.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break, and after which we'll have some emails.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Luke Moore.
Yeah, a reminder that you can sign up and support us on Patreon, where you'll receive loads of extra behind-the-scenes content and bonus podcast episodes from as little as $5 a month. Supporting us on Patreon will help us keep all our shows running through this difficult period, and we'd really appreciate your support. But for those of you who haven't signed up yet, do listen to this, because to celebrate our expanding Patreon offering, we're running a very special competition this week, thanks to our friends at icons.com. We're giving Patreon subscribers the chance to win, and check this out, a signed and framed Paul Gascoigne 1990 England shirt. Iconic. Iconic. Simply sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 p.m. British time on Friday the 27th of March. That's this Friday by 5 p.m. Everyone signed up before the deadline, including those of you who are already Patreon subscribers, will be eligible for the prize. Signing up to a higher tier makes you more likely to win. So if you sign up to our supporters club tier, you'll be entered once into the competition. If you sign up to our Ramble On tier, you will be entered twice into the competition. And if you sign up for our highest tier, as well as becoming an official friend of the Ramble, your name will be entered three times into the competition. So head to patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 p.m. on Friday the 27th of March to enter, and we'll announce the winner of a Paul Gascoigne signed and framed 1990 England shirt the following week on the show. So that's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Thanks for all your support so far, and give yourself a chance of winning that shirt, because it is an iconic prize, thanks to our friends at icons.com.
Lovely old job. And now it's time for emails with PD.
You email show.
It is time for emails with PTD. Thank you to everyone who's got in touch at shortfootballrambledaily.com. First email comes from Toby. Hi, team. Love the show. As an avid Bristol Rovers fan, albeit supporting from the centre of Australia, I recently became intrigued by our recent loan signing of young striker Timmy Abraham. Ooh. The more talented brother of the somewhat known footballer, Tammy Abraham.
Wow.
Could the 12-month delay to the Euros now present the opportunity to see Tammy and Timmy up front for the Three Lions? Probably not, but we've got to find something to talk about. Thank you, Tommy.
It doesn't sound very intimidating, does it, Timmy and Tammy?
Did he say he was in Australia? Because they love a Tim Tam over there.
So yeah. That's Tim Tam. Yeah,
is, there,
yeah.
Is there a Tommy Abraham as well? Is there some sort of Ami Obi sort of legacy happening here?
And a fat one, and there's a fat one called Tommy Abraham.
How deep does this Abraham well go is the question. Hello, Ryan. Zdanovic says, Ramble Force Ho, that's an old one. Just thought I had to ask how football should handle the current shutdown. My idea is, get this. The annoying thing is about this email, it ends with, it goes without saying Pete is unqualified to weigh in on this, and then he comes out with this shit. My idea is that UEFA should immediately open the transfer window for as long as the shutdown exists. While I will be the first to concede that it is entirely against the sporting nature of football, but it might be a healthy alternative for the greater economic and social landscape around football. The summer transfer window each year generates an untold amount of buzz, interest, downloads, clicks, and financial incentives for both teams and the greater footballing world to maintain a level of relevance it would not otherwise have during off-season.
I think medicals might be a bit of a challenge there.
Yeah, you can't actually go anywhere at the moment. So how's that going to happen?
Let's have the mass movement of people, agents, yeah. Private jets. Yeah, sounds like a great plan, Ryan.
Is his name Ryan Zdanovic?
Yeah.
It's an incredible name, and you've wasted it there, Ryan.
Yeah. Hello to Mendy. Shalom, Ramblers from quarantine Tel Aviv. Today marks a sad day for all of us lovers of the penalty shootout. Yossi Dagan, the man accredited with inventing the modern shootout, passed away today at the age of 93. While Dagan has become an iconic figure in the world of Israeli football for being one of our few contributions to global support, other than the famous other Yossi, Ben Ayoun, I was wondering what other individuals exist in football that have had such a drastic influence on the game in the modern era. Can we name a specific person who brought on the end of the pass back to keepers? Do we know exactly who is the deviant who proposed VAR? I reckon Tony Yeboah invented the volley off the bar.
Jean-Marc Bosman, he was very influential.
Yeah, that's very true. Also, if you scored a volley off the bar, it was known as a Yeboah when we were younger, wasn't it? And also, we mentioned him already, if the Klinsmann dive was a thing as well that people would sarcastically do in the park. Maybe not so much the school playground. Depends how mad you were, I suppose.
Well, Pete knows all about it because he broke his elbow doing a Klinsmann.
I did, yeah. Stuck my arm out at the last minute, pulled out of a Klinsmann. Never pull out of a Klinsmann.
Talking of penalty shootouts, I saw an interview with the great Barry Davis the other day, and he kept referring to a penalty shootout as a penalty competition. And I love the fact that he does that still.
Very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Finally for now, Chris Medlock with a bit of a... I presume you guys have solicited this kind of content, but morning, chaps. Like many people, I now find myself with an abundance of free weekends and DIY tasks stacking up around the home. The challenge for this weekend is to find a suitable method of fixing wooden battens to a brick wall in preparation for plasterboarding. Not sure of whether to go for a hammer and anchor them into place, or maybe brick screws. Also, it is a particularly old house. The walls aren't straight. Do you have any advice about how to get a straight stud against the uneven walls? Many thanks. Stay safe. Chris Medlock.
Chris, you could not be asking a worse group of men.
No.
I include myself in that for advice on this subject. The best we can do, I think, is probably ask some of our other listeners to weigh in, and we become some kind of a conduit for DIY chat, the same way we were for medieval weaponry chat.
Yeah. Mm.
And we're just saying, Screwfix, we are available for sponsorship.
100%.
So that was the email section. If you want to get in touch, show at footballrambledaily.com.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Right then, gentlemen. Did you watch... they're still running some version of Match of the Day on a Saturday night. There was Gary Lineker was presenting from his kitchen, and Ian Wright and Alan Shearer were talking about the best Premier League captains. Alan Shearer was speaking about the time that he and Roy Keane had that little spat back in September 2001. If you remember, it resulted in Roy Keane getting sent off. Newcastle beat Manchester United 4-3. That's how long ago it was. Although I suppose they beat them this season as well, so I shouldn't be so disrespectful. Shearer sort of mugged off Keane, and then Keane was waiting for him in the tunnel and blah, blah, blah. And I thought that's quite a nice little story, a little blast from the past, if you will. And I thought, do you know what, we should do a little feature, a little memorable moment from the Premier League. Maybe we'll focus on bust-ups for now. And it got me thinking... which were particularly enjoyable bust-ups from the Premier League. And, of course, I didn't have to stray from Newcastle United to probably pick out the most famous one or infamous one. The time when Newcastle players Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer had a fight with each other on the pitch during a home match against Aston Villa in 2005.
That was incredible. And that wasn't the only one of those incidents that happened in that game either, was it? That was the same game when Stephen Taylor effectively kind of pretended he'd been shot to try and stop a penalty happening. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that very well, yeah.
To be more precise, it was Darius Fasile. See, this is how much of a if you crunched all the, you know, if the Euro Index crunched all the numbers and said this is a peak ramble, then you have Dyer and Bowyer having a fight, which results in both players getting sent off. So that put Newcastle down to eight men because Stephen Taylor had been sent off earlier because he'd handled a Darius Vassell shot and then pretended to have been hit in the side by the ball rather than on the hand. Graham Souness was in charge of Newcastle United, and David O'Leary was Aston Villa manager. And Nobby Solano said after the match of Dyer and Bowyer, you wouldn't think that they hate each other, but they're both friends and they play cards together.
There's a couple of brilliant points from this. I read an article covering it in a kind of blast from the past type way, and when Bowyer confronted Dyer, Dyer apparently responded by saying, "The reason I don't pass to you is because you're shit, basically." and the article itself was brilliant. It said something along the lines of, "Perhaps you could understand the frustration because Newcastle at that point had conceded two penalties and had had a promising academy lad shot dead."
It's amazing that Souness was in charge. You wonder, was that sort of the general kind of alpha male kind of just general hardness of Souness, like infusing the squad and getting Dyer and Bowyer to be in that frame of mind? Or, yeah. I mean, imagine that the bollocking that you know you're going to get after that. You get sent off because you had a fight on the pitch.
Oh, Jim, he made them apologise in the press conference, didn't he? And he sat in between the school boys, yeah.
He did, yeah. Like a headmaster.
But before he did that, though, he said of the incident, "In many ways, such incidents can encourage togetherness."
We do it in training all the time.
I love the Nobby Solano quite after. "You would think they hated each other, but they are friends and play cards together. Why are they doing this?"
Oh, lovely Nobby.
I know. David O'Leary was Villa manager, and presumably he was very concerned because had Darren Bowie turned on any of his players that he said, no one's touching my babies.
My babies. Pete, what are your memories of that as the resident Newcastle fan here?
Yeah, come on, Petey.
I seem to recall them, I think Graeme Souness made them apologise to the tea lady. I think that was the case anyway.
Yeah.
In the press conference, I think the tea lady came in. And I'm fairly certain, it might be just a fevered brain trying to remember, but I'm fairly certain they apologised to the tea lady. Obviously, I mean, the Premier League, or rather, I guess the Champions League, set a precedent with Lassaw and...
Batty.
And Batty. Yeah. Batty, obviously. Also a Newcastle player at one point in his career. So it's not like Newcastle. Newcastle are admittedly a joke of a club, but it has been seen before.
Yeah, and actually with Batty and Graham Lassaw, that was in the Champions League as well.
Yeah. But can you imagine, though, how maddening it must be for a manager if two of your players start fighting each other and both get sent off? And you're already down to 10 men, so they finish the game with 3 men sent off.
I think that's the only game I can remember, and people will be able to get in touch and tell me if I'm wrong, that I can remember 3 players from the same team during a game getting sent off.
Hearts had 4 men sent off at Ibrox once.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember that, am I?
Well, you might do. I mean, it happened in living memory.
In the world.
Oh. Unless we covered it on the show, I don't know if I'd be across that. But what do they get sent off for? Just 4 separate incidents?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It would have, I can't, to be honest, I actually can't remember what they were, but it was 4 separate incidents, I believe, yeah.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, madness. But yeah, so I thought that was worth a little walk down memory. I love the fact that Darius Vassell was involved as well at some point.
Yeah.
But Stephen Taylor denying Darius a goal, which is a great shame.
Well, he only scored for England, really, didn't he?
Indeed, Jim, he did. Only a couple of goals, but my goodness, they were important. Mm. Oh, dear. Jim, you wanted to talk about Felipe Melo.
I did want to talk about Felipe Melo because I'm sure a lot of you have seen the sort of toilet roll keepy uppy challenge that's been going around the world of footballers challenging each other to do it. Yeah, Marcus indeed has done it. You can check him out on all over our socials to see what a brilliant shift he put in on that, dressed as Kevin Pressman, inexplicably.
It sounds like a joke, but it isn't.
No, it's not. It's very much real. But obviously, Lionel Messi's getting involved. Arturo Vidal did a particularly good one. There's lots of great footballers doing it. And then there's a great one where Felipe Melo goes to start doing it and then just decides, forget this. And then quite aggressively 2 foot the toilet roll and good on you, Felipe. Good on you. You know what you are and you're sticking to it.
The Golden Bin Award in Italy as well, remember?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Should we have a Premier League equivalent of that? Or is it too mean?
No, I think it's too
harsh.
If
you don't know the Golden Bin, it's for the worst player, isn't it?
I don't think you should have that. I think footballers get enough crap. I think it's actually quite in really poor taste.
Ah, fuck them.
You're probably right. Bollocks to them. They earn enough money. They shouldn't have feelings.
Yeah. Do you see Alan Saint-Maximin taking on, I hope they're his daughters, but basically him just ripping the pee out of his D's.
It's great.
In the house. He's just absolutely doing them with tricks and flicks. And one of them just goes sliding in. Oh, it's fantastic. I love that man.
He's quality. Mm. He is quality. All right, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of quality, it's now time for Pete's Film Club.
Pete's Film Club.
Right, that's disrespectful because that's not how I talk. That is producer Katie doing an impression of me.
Yeah.
Very... very rude.
We encourage that in your absence. If you're going to go away at a time like this, there are going to be repercussions. And one of them is our producer is going to rip the piss out of you.
Yeah, it wasn't a time like this. I booked 2 holidays early on because I thought we were going to have a big old Euros session. We're going to have tours. We're going to be doing all this and that. I'll get them out the way early. And then I come back, Pete, and everything's gone to shit. I leave the country.
The Euros is still happening, Pete. Yeah. We'll just meet you there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
and,
cool.
And at least you got to go. I've got trips booked to Bruges and New York. Never going to happen.
Hey, look, guys. I mean, I'm in the studio. I came to the studio. I wondered where you guys were. I'm in my house. So we thought it'd be quite nice to check out some films from yesteryear. Loosely football adjacent, I'm going to say. And have a little bit of a film club. Watch, review, and come to the group with our opinions about it. We've gone for the film Goal, if you're familiar with that. Kuno Becker, Santiago Muniz, starring Anna Friel, Stephen Dillon and Alessandra Nivola as the main stars of the 2005 film from back in the day. Obviously centred around my favourite football team, Newcastle United.
Santiago Muniz had a day job and a night job. But every other moment, he lived for the game.
What's your name, son?
Santiago Muniz.
If you get yourself to England, Newcastle United will give you a trial.
That's a big club.
Very big club.
It's okay to have dreams, son, but people like us have to work for a living.
There's always plan B. We win the lottery.
Now, for his family.
You deserve this chance, Santiago. Take it.
He'll pursue a dream 6,000 miles from home.
I have a tryout for Newcastle United.
You want to lay off the black pudding?
What is it exactly?
You don't want to know.
He's jet-lagged, nervous. He's never seen mud before.
Maybe you don't have the stamina for the English game.
Adios, amigo!
I'll be better tomorrow, I promise.
It's not going to be a tomorrow, Santiago.
He's grown up in poverty and hardship, and his only way out is his skill with the ball.
Munez,
just wanted to see what it felt like to be in this field.
You think you deserve it?
I know I do.
It is now quite a day for this young man.
One man's extraordinary journey.
That's my son.
That's my boy, Santiago.
Is about to begin.
So inaugural film is Goal. Guys, what did you think of it?
I'd never actually seen it before, so this was an eye-opener for me. I was aware of the scenes where, you know, real football was spliced together with fake football. I've got to say, that was actually done fairly well.
Yeah, my take on it is that I don't actually remember seeing it, although I must have. And so I rewatched it, and when we decided we were going to do Goal, I was like, oh God, why are we doing this, man? This is going to be a 2 hour. And by the way, it's 2 hours
long.
But having said that, I didn't actually mind it. I found Santiago Muniz to be quite likable, and I was absolutely living for the cameos as well. I actually thought it was fairly decent. I don't think Donald Trump would have got through the first opening 5 minutes.
Mexican family
smuggling themselves across the border, fuming.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, he feels really unhappy about leaving his football behind in a sign of things to come. I have to say, with that in mind, obviously he moves to LA and his family don't have a lot of money, so his dream is to play football. But I would put this to you, Pete, as you have the most experience of these things. Like, is being rich in Newcastle really better than being poor in LA?
That is so rude, Jim. People from Newcastle listen to this.
And we love them.
Yeah. By the way, it's a really amazing and obvious nod to Arsene Wenger in the shape of the Newcastle manager. Although he's German in the film, he's blatantly modelled completely on Arsene Wenger.
He's so Wenger-esque. I mean, I'm cribbing slightly from the Clash of the Titles episode I did a few weeks ago because we did Goal and Escape to Victory as well. But if you ever want to know whether you're watching a good film, when the titles come up and they're in the same typeface as "You Wouldn't Steal a Car," the anti-piracy message that was before the film, it's not a good one. And then if that font goes on to say the words Anna Friel, you're not watching a good film.
Oh, that's harsh on Anna. I thought she's very likable as well.
And also, if it's been uploaded to YouTube in 1080p quality 3 years ago and the algorithms haven't even noticed it, 3 million views later, they would have killed for that at the box office. 3 million views.
Do you want to hear? I've made a few notes when I was watching it. I'll read them through to you now. So, first of all, the things that stuck in my mind from the movie is that Adidas are everywhere in it. They are everywhere in that film. They must have funded it in some way.
They did. They did. It's the biggest sports film agreement in ever. In fact, it was a huge amount of money.
Secondly, he's an absolute mug wearing molds in that trial when it's pissing it down. Idiot. What's he doing?
Yeah, he gets pushed all over the place, doesn't he? And that is largely why.
And I also found it, I mean, the least believable part of it is when they have such a laissez-faire attitude to immigration at the airport when he says he's here for business, when he hasn't got a visa, because one of the immigration officers is a Newcastle fan. Come on.
That's it.
We need all the help we can get.
Yeah, that's what he said.
One of the things I love as well is obviously there's a lot of footballers that cameo in it, and I'm sure we'll come on to the more famous ones or the most famous ones. But I love that the real player who, in terms of the actual time he spends on screen putting a shift in, is James Milner, which is so appropriate.
James Milner is at the centre of every kind of football thing that's happened, because I'm fairly sure, and people are going to crucify me, this is wrong, but I don't think it is. When Aguero scored that legendary goal to win Man City the title, isn't it Milner who puts the ball in?
No, wasn't it Balotelli, I think, and wasn't it...
No, it comes to Balotelli first.
Balotelli
he
gets the assist, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Milner plays it into Balotelli.
I can't remember.
That would make sense.
He's definitely playing from that point anyway. So Milner's at the epicenter of everything culturally important in football, including goal.
You'd say so, wouldn't you? There's a nice little cameo from Sven, of course, non-speaking.
Yeah. Very short cameo though, isn't it, Marcus?
Very short, but it's enough. And David Beckham actually does okay, because I saw David Beckham have a cameo in Modern Family recently, and my goodness, he's wooden. I mean, I love Beckham, but flipping heck.
I love him as well, Marcus. I thought he was really poor in goal.
No, honestly, compare it to some of his other cameos. That was blindingly brilliant. That's how bad it is.
One of the things I really love that obviously David Beckham, Raul and Zinedine Zidane pop up in a bar in London inexplicably, because they're supposedly doing an advert. And I love how obviously we all know that Santiago Muniz goes on to play for Real Madrid, and Beckham hints that he's got the quality, and I feel like this is Avengers style cinematic universe building way before the MCU had been
tapping up is what it is.
Yeah. Alessandro Nivola, he's been in some big films. He was in Jurassic Park 3 and he was in Face Off alongside Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. His English accent's pretty good.
It is good.
Yeah. He's from Los Angeles, and he was apparently chosen because he could play a bit of football.
Which one is he? Is he the one who plays Gavin Harris?
He's the naughty Gavin Harris.
He's Craig Bellamy. Yeah.
I didn't realise he wasn't English.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's very good. Yeah. Credit where it's due.
How annoying is his agent, the guy who plays his agent? Is it Sean Pertwee?
Oh, that's Sean Pertwee, yeah.
Pertwee, who's a good actor, but he's the guy he plays, it's such a cliched. Yeah, horrible.
They just make him say bruv a lot to make it clear that he's from London.
Nah, bruv, like, sort you out with a deal.
Ashley Walters is in it as an extra. Presumably his part was cut. But I mean, as Luke says, it's 2 hours long, and there's an absolutely unnecessary asthma sort of side plot that I think they could have cut.
I felt for Donnie there, because Donnie's the Ramble's resident asthmatic. It must be like a horror movie seeing the inhaler get stepped on, Donnie.
It really is. He's only got his bag with him. For some reason, he turns up for the trial at the stadium, and the manager says, go and meet us at the training ground. His asthma thing gets stamped on. He should be across his preventatives. He shouldn't need emergency asthma medication. It's just all a bit of a shame, really. But you talk about...
Presumably, he should be declaring that to the club's medical staff as well.
He should be declaring that. I mean, to be honest, NUFC Threat Level on Twitter made the point that Santiago Muniz manages to get a work permit. He's not an EU citizen. Brad Friedel had to apply 3 times. He couldn't play for Newcastle, Sunderland or Liverpool.
Yeah.
And he was a US citizen.
Can I just confirm something that is really important? There's 3 things I want to confirm. One is, I think Igor Biscan's in it.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Rafa Benitez without a beard. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
And 3, and possibly most importantly, sat at the bar in LA watching the Newcastle game, the lead singer of AC/DC.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. A lovely cameo.
He's really good at it as well. He comes across brilliantly.
Yeah, that's how you do a cameo. Yeah.
He offers Santiago Muniz's dad a pint if he scores a goal. He doesn't score a goal, but he does win a penalty, and he still gets his pint. So
that's 4.
Loose with his favours. AC/DC, loose with their favours, which kind of sounds like an AC/DC album.
What are you giving? Yeah, it does a bit. What are you giving goal out? What were you giving goal out of 10? Pete, why don't you go first?
OK, considering I was the only person who saw it at the cinema, I'm going to give it a solid 9 out of 10. Because I remember when it was getting filmed. I remember when at the end of like a couple of Newcastle matches, there was a 0-0 against Liverpool, I think it was. And I remember the players kind of running on at the end of the match and celebrating with the real players. And it was just really weird. I was like, this is never going to come out. It's so weird. I remember one of the actors said, I think it was the blonde bloke from LA. He said, we shot quite a lot of the real Newcastle games in the stadium. And apparently on the match day, they were really annoyed that they couldn't go out on the pitch during the actual game. It's like, it's a football match, mate.
No, they did. Apparently, when Newcastle scored, or maybe at the end of the game, they would run on
at the end of the
quickly.
Game, they did, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Jermaine fucking cool in it as well. He looks amazing in it, genius.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned this film a few weeks ago on the Ramble and on the Football Ramble Daily, and I think I said that this wouldn't be being shot on digital. So this somewhere on a Hollywood lot in an unlovable little lockup, there will be a single cell or 24 frames per second of Kieran Dyer and Lee Boyer. I kind of want it to burn it.
Yeah. Marcus, what are you giving out of 10?
Well, I like the fact that it came out in 2005. Now, I don't know whether it would have come out before or after the Boyer Dyer incident, but certainly Newcastle would have had more worldly or global exposure through this film.
And the first experience people got. I love that. If that's the case, that is amazing.
Why does that, to quote Luke Moore, why does that man's face look like a clenched fist? But I think, I mean, 9 out of 10 is utterly ridiculous.
It's absolutely fucking outrageous, Dawson. And you should be ashamed of yourself. 9 out of 10. Sight and sound report of Pete Dawson.
Isaac Hayden came to Newcastle because he loved Newcastle because of the film Goal. And he's been excellent this season. He did.
He went to Newcastle because his agent could get him a gig at Newcastle.
No, he had the choice of every club.
Isaac Hayden started to play for Newcastle. It must be a good film. Mental.
Look, I'm just saying, a man turning up in bootcut jeans, doing a trial for 3 days, having a stinker, and then suddenly getting personal training from the manager and getting on the subs bench is exactly how Newcastle United do their business usually. So I think it's an accurate portrayal of how Newcastle is run as a club, soundtracked by Marcus Speller's favourite band, Oasis.
Oh, there's a lot of Oasis in there, to be fair. All right. 9 out of 10. No.
What are you giving the famous documentary film Goal out of
10? Can I rate the manager's pre-match team talk at the big finale?
Oh, so good.
No, I won't say that. I don't want to give
remind
it away.
Did he just
look at all the players and just go, you know what to do?
No, it's better than that. He goes, listen up, guys. And then there is a very long pause. And he goes, you know what you have to do. That is all. That's all of it.
By the way, you say it's based on Vega. That's based on Sven all day long, Sven.
Yeah.
So when you're asking for the rating, are we rating it generally, or are we rating in a football film sort of rating? Because as this feature goes on, I feel that this could be the best film we see.
I was just thinking that. So maybe Pete's onto something there. I think we have to rate it within the context, within the ecosystem of the football films we're going to be covering. So on that note, it's difficult because it's the first one we've seen, but you're going to have to do it on that basis, I think.
Yeah, so I'll play it safe and say 7 out of 10 then.
Jimbo?
Yeah, I like that because 7 is the number that sounds the most like Sven, isn't it, Marcus? Which is what you've done there. But yeah, I would say in the context of Pete's Film Club, obviously it scores a little bit higher. There weren't many moments where I was sort of like cringing or embarrassed. In fact, I don't really know if there were any. There was a lot of kind of quite hokey movie moments, but none of them was truly, truly terrible. And as well as there being a lot of Oasis B-sides in there, which is obviously something very, very good for Marcus, inexplicably, there is an And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead song in there. Yeah. And they're one of my favourite bands. So it gets a little bit of an extra mark for that. And yeah, so I would agree. I would go with 7.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to give it a 7 as well. Now, I've given it a 7, chiefly because I didn't expect much, and I actually quite enjoyed it. It was far better than I thought it was going to be. I thought, not because I'm some kind of amazing film snob or whatever, but just because I thought it's 15 years old. regardless of how good it was at the time, it's probably going to have dated badly. But it actually hasn't dated that badly at all. Mm. And the lead in it is really likable, and you kind of want him to do well. Mm. So although it's kind of a lot of it is box ticking, kind of film narrative by numbers.
Yeah,
it's got enough in there, particularly for a football fan, to really enjoy. So I'll give it a 7 as well. Yeah. So that is that's a total of 30 points out of 40 for goal.
Yeah, probably not enough to stay up, but you never know, do you?
Wait, what are you going to give us for next time?
You're going to be getting a film that is, while not wholly and solely focused on football, it's certainly football adjacent. It's a little-known romantic sort of comedy, although there's not actually comedy in it. It's Gerard Butler's film, Playing for Keeps.
Oh, Jesus. You mentioned this about 2 or 3 days ago and sent us a link, and I thought at the time, this looks so bad.
It's a honker.
I think we're going to regret giving goal 7 out of 10. I think that score will be pushed up retrospectively.
Marcus, I thought what you were going to say is I think we're going to regret giving Peter's own film club.
Come on,
I hate to think.
But there's your homework.
So should we review that next Monday then, Pete? Next Monday, yeah. So we've got a week to watch it. And the people listening can watch it along as well with us.
Yeah. Indeed. There's your homework. Playing for Keeps. It's probably on one of the streaming services. Or, I mean, I don't really care, to be honest. Illegally download it. I don't care. It's Pete's Film Club. I don't care. All bets are off, mate.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Well, that was Pete's Film Club. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our time on The Ramble today. Thank you very much for joining us. Luke, another little shout out for Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/footballrambleday. Lots of great stuff on there. Extra content. You guys do the lion's share of that, and it's all great. You also get a chance to win a signed Paul Gascoigne 1990 England shirt if you sign up before this Friday at 5 p.m. So make sure you do that. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. And thank you for all your support so far.
Absolutely. A huge heartfelt thanks for all of you who are on Patreon. Thank you very much. We really, really appreciate that.
There is a link between Paul Gascoigne and the film Goal, quite apart from the fact that it features one of his ex-clubs. Oh. He was the half-time hero who came on the pitch at half-time in one of the matches in which they filmed. There you go.
At one point, when there's a big aerial shot of Newcastle coming out onto the pitch to play a game, because they had to get some of the extra players in there, there are quite clearly 13 players on the team.
Hey, lovely.
Love that. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to The Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Our usual schedule is running this week, so do check out Jules and Andy or Ramble Meets. And all sorts of things. But until next time, it's Laura Love from me. Thanks very much. Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goal, the dream begins.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.